Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 5th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, a look back at PMA 2008. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm back from Las Vegas, where I just spent the week at the Photo Marketing Association show in Las Vegas. Lots of new announcements, lots of goodies, and I've come back with a handful of my favorites that I'm going to report to you. Hopefully there'll be something here that will be of interest. I'm also going to talk about our new photo assignment. I'll give you a hint. It's empty for February. That is the photo assignment, empty. I kind of like it. I think it has possibilities. But let's get right into the gear. The first thing that I want to talk about is a couple of DSLR bodies, especially at the consumer level, because there's lots of good stuff happening right there. Now, the Sony A350 DSLR, the Alpha 350. This is a very interesting camera. It sells for $899 with the zoom lens that comes with it, you know, where they bundle the 18-70 kit lens, which is a pretty nice lens. And I think you can get it for $799 without the lens. Has all sorts of features that are tantalizing, like a 14.2 megapixel CCD sensor. Goes up to 3200 ISO, although I don't know what that looks like, but it does go up to 3200. Good battery life on it, anti-dust technology, 9-point AF sensor, and two slots, two memory card slots, one for Memory Stick Pro Dual, which is Sony's proprietary memory format, and then also for compact flash. All of this is good stuff, but what really makes this camera interesting to me is that it has a 2.7-inch LCD, I believe. Yeah, they call it Clear Photo LCD. That's their name for it. That has live view. And live view, of course, we're seeing more and more on digital SLRs. But Sony has a twist on this particular camera with live view in that the LCD flips upward and flips downward. It's not just mounted on the back of the camera. That means that you can flip the LCD upward and set the camera down at your feet and look down into it and take a picture. Or you can flip the LCD the other way, hold the camera up over your head, look into it, and shoot that way with live view. This is pretty slick, and I tried it. I looked through it, and the tracking, the video tracking on it was a little laggy. It would bother me if this was a camcorder, but since it's a still camera, it wasn't really an issue, but the image was clear, and it's very handy. It's very handy having this back. It reminds me of a back that I have on an old Olympus, a compact camera, the C5050, that has that same sort of back. This one feels a lot like that. If you know about the Olympus, then you'll know how the Sony feels. And I did post about it on the Digital Story, a little mini review and with a link and a picture and all that sort of stuff. So if this camera interests you, if you kind of like that LCD thing and you're already thinking Sony, then you might want to take a look at the Alpha 350. It should be out right around April time. Now, as we anticipated, Canon also announced an update to the Digital Rebel, and the new model is called the XSI. So they actually stepped backwards from the XTI in terms of lettering. Probably didn't want to go forward. They don't like those letters, but S is a very nice letter, and so that's what they chose. And this is a 12.2 megapixel camera. Same size sensor, but has two more megapixels than the XTI. And right away you start wondering about, well, does that mean that the noise is going to go up? More resolution, same size sensor. What Canon said in the meeting with them that I had when I was actually playing with the Rebel was that no, in fact, the noise is going to be less, and they cited two reasons for this. One, that the photo sites, believe it or not, the actual light gathering area of the sensor, the photo sites are the same size as in the XTI. they found, you know, area on the sensor that wasn't being fully utilized before. They're now using it for the XSI, and so they were able to increase resolution, yet keep the photosites, the light-gathering parts of the sensor, the same size. So I think that's rather interesting. And then what they did on top of that, that the image processor, the DIGIC image processor, on the XTI it's a DIGIC 2, but on the XSI it's a DIGIC 3 processor. This is a very good processor. It can do a lot of stuff, and they say that that will help with better, you know, noise control with this camera. So now suddenly we're looking at 12 megapixels CMOS sensor with excellent noise control, a lot of resolution, and, you know, ISO that I believe goes up to 3200 also. Now, the Rebel has a live view LCD, and even though it doesn't swivel like the Sony A350, it is a 3-inch, and it's a beautiful, it's a gorgeous LCD screen mounted on the back. The burst rate is a very snappy 3.5 frames a second, which is, for a digital Rebel, I think outstanding. I remember the earlier digital Rebels, and they were, well, they were lumbering hippos when it came to burst mode. 3.5 frames, that's very snappy, and it really did fire them off nicely. 9-point autofocus, so that part of it is pretty much right in the ballpark with everyone else. The camera feels great. It's the best feeling Rebel to date. It's got a nice heft to it. It's still light, but it fits in the hand nicely. The menus have been redone, and they're very clear and easy to use. They move the ISO button up to the top, up near the shutter button, so you can actually be looking through the viewfinder and hit the ISO button while you're still looking through the optical viewfinder and change your ISO on the fly, and I think that's pretty nifty. Same price as the XTI, which runs about the same as the Sony, so they're all in the same ballpark here. It will also be out, I believe, in March. I think the Rebel's scheduled for sometime in March release. This is going to be a very nice camera. If you already have Canon glass and you're looking for a new body that has the latest technologies, I would definitely take a look at the XSI. It's beautiful. There was a lot of buzz in the Canon, excuse me. Well, there's a lot of buzz in the Canon booth too, but there was even more buzz in the Nikon booth because of the D300 and the D3, which they weren't announced at PMA, but people came to learn more about them. And you could just feel the energy. People are very excited about both of these camera bodies. I'm not going to talk about them because they're not actually, you know, new news. They're just, wow, they're great, fantastic news, but they're not new. But there's something else going on around Nikon, and it's actually Nik Software. Now, Nik Software, they're the folks that created Capture NX for Nikon. And with the U-Point technology, we've talked about this on the Digital Story before, and I love it. What they've done is they've come up with a new Photoshop plugin, and it's called Vivenza, and it's V-I-V-E-Z-A, V-I-V-E-Z-A, so it's Vivenza, I think. I'm probably just really killing the name here, but at least I spelled it correctly. So V-I-V-E-Z-A. What this is and what's so wonderful about it, and the reason why I'm bringing it up now, it is a plugin for Photoshop that allows you to use Nik's U-Point technology to do color and tone adjustments as part of your normal Photoshop workflow. You don't actually have to leave Photoshop now to use this technology. And it's terrific. I mean, basically what it does, it eliminates the need for layer masks, except for in, you know, really specific situations. So if you want to work on, for example, all the blue jeans in a shot, as you got a group shot and you got four pairs of blue jeans and you want to kind of bring them all into the same tonal range there or color range or something, basically you just open it up in this plugin and you click on it, and then you have, you know, brightness and contrast and saturation controls all right there. and they only work on the color that you've clicked on throughout the photo. And then even if you want to protect a color, you can put another control point on that and it stays protected. And suddenly you can start doing these adjustments at warp speed. It's really phenomenal. Now, this plugin probably won't be ready until March, is what they were saying. And it is going to be pricey. It's going to be around $250 US. But I tell you, if you are someone that does a lot of area-specific work in Photoshop, and you're not a huge fan of masking and layers and so forth, or you haven't been doing that work because you don't like using those tools, definitely take a look at this. It's by Nick Software, N-I-K Software, and it's spelled V-I-V-E-Z-A. It is really a very nice piece of work. Well, as part of my quest to find a portable storage while I'm on the go, and that isn't a laptop, has led me to the door of some folks called HyperDrive, H-Y-P-E-R Drive. And they have made what they say is the world's fastest and most advanced memory card backup device. And I tested this, and it is very cool. It is very cool. It's a nice case. It's a nice matte black case with a good LCD on it, a nice colorful LCD that basically takes all the memory cards that are available, and they have hard drives that go from 80 gigabytes, I believe, to 250 gigabytes, and they allow you to look at your images and store them while on the go. It has excellent battery life. It will take and display most common RAW files. So, you know, not only can you store your RAW files in this device and upload them quickly, you can actually look at them on the color LCD. And you have thumbnail view, you have a file browser, it gives you backup status while it's happening. You can even see a histogram and XF data of the images that you've loaded onto this device. So if you're on the go, and you don't want to use your laptop, you don't want to take your laptop, you just want to go with your camera, but yet have some way to offload the images off your memory card, this is really a nice device. They've won a few awards. They actually they won a demo award last year, and they've got some other awards here. It feels good in the hand. It's called HyperDrive, and I'll make sure I put the links to all of these in the show notes if you want to go look them up. But this is pretty good stuff, and for some of you, it might be the solution to your backup on the go, and actually might be my backup solution too. We'll see. So I had another meeting with Casio. I first talked to them at Macworld earlier in January about this new camera they have coming out, the EX-F1, which is just this incredible high-speed hybrid camera, is the best way to describe it, that can shoot at 60 frames per second. I mean, a real 60 frames per second. It's a 6 megapixel CMOS sensor. The image quality is fantastic. It shoots HD video. It shoots standard definition video. The video can go up to 1,200 frames per second. Just crazy stuff. You can do flash photography with it at 7 frames per second with the flash firing. It writes to DNG, so it does have a RAW format. So it has JPEG and RAW. And the RAW file is a DNG, which is very easy to use. Has an external microphone port, so that if you are recording video, you can put an external mic into it and actually get, you know, great sounding audio. So, you know, I had written about it in the Digital Story earlier as a first look, and they had a couple firmware updates. The camera isn't out yet. They had a couple firmware updates since I last played with it. So I went back over, had another meeting with it, played with the latest version of it. Wow, this camera is really something else. Now it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be $999 US. So, you know, it does have a big optical zoom lens. I think it's goes up to 400 400 millimeter equivalent for, 35 millimeter. But it's just, this is just really crazy. It's light. It's very easy to carry around. It gives you movie recording. You can, on the high definition, you can go 1920 by 1080. That's some serious high definition video recording, especially since you have the mic. And the optical zoom is 12x. So it's the real deal. Now, they still haven't loaded the final firmware into it yet. They're still, working out a few of the kinks. I don't think we're going to see much before March on this camera. I'm going to continue to follow it, though, because this is just, a phenomenal piece of equipment. The images look great. It's easy to use. It's very versatile. It's a camera that I would love to have in my bag along with my regular DSLR and so forth, especially when I'm out on location, because it sort of covers the broad edges of things that maybe I wouldn't be able to do otherwise. Let's say I'm out on location and suddenly I want to shoot some high definition video. I can do that. Or if I need to do some stuff at 60 frames per second, I can do that. And knowing that when I'm shooting the raw files that I can, knowing that when I'm shooting the still pictures, I can actually have raw files. So I'm keeping my eye out on this. I will continue to write about it. It is the Pro EX-F1 by Casio. Something to keep your eye out for, too, if you're into this kind of extreme photography. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait for the final model to hit the streets. The last camera I want to talk about here is by Panasonic. And they have been busy, busy, busy. They have a whole raft of new compact cameras they've announced. One of them was the FZ5, which I was able to shoot with on Monday and Tuesday with them. Had it in my hands, went out shooting. Actually, was even able to go up in a helicopter and do some shooting up there using its using its aerial scene mode. Boy, I mean, when you got a scene mode for aerial photography, that's when you know you've really got a lot of scene modes. But Panasonic's doing some interesting stuff. They've created this mode called Intelligent Auto, and I like it. I like it a lot. And what it does is it combines their optical image stabilization, they call it a Mega OIS, with face detection. And then they have something new called Scene Detection, which is, so we have scene modes, but, normally we have to switch to them ourselves, right? With scene detection, as you move in close to something, it'll switch to close-up mode. When it identifies a person's face, it'll switch to portrait mode. On and on and on, landscape, aerial, so on and so forth. Pretty phenomenal stuff, and it works very well. In fact, when I was shooting with the FC5, I actually got best shots if I just let it be. If I didn't try to override the camera, if I just let the camera do the work and stayed out of its way, I actually got the best shots. Now, it's a very small camera, so it fits easily in the pocket. It goes as wide as 28 millimeters, so that's very handy, because a lot of times on compacts, we're limited to like a 35 millimeter focal length, which isn't as wide as we often need. And then it has all of this wonderful technology built into it for image stabilization and face detection and scene detection and even auto ISO. The auto ISO is crazy. They did a demo with it. And it's not just, changing the ISO when something's moving, which a lot of cameras have. This is where it actually will adjust the ISO for different parts of the scene, so that areas in the scene that are in shadow, it'll actually raise the ISO on that part of the sensor, and then areas that are in bright light will actually lower the ISO. This is all on the same shot. It does this. This is just crazy stuff. Just, phenomenal and very, very smart. And the camera's going to be affordable too. It should be right around $200 for this thing that fits in your pocket. It has a nice little lens on it, a very sharp lens on it. The pictures that I got out of it when I was shooting on Monday and Tuesday in the Las Vegas area were incredibly sharp and well exposed with nice color, the whole deal. My only beef with the FZ5 was that it did have shutter lag, and I mean a little bit more shutter lag than I like. So I think it's a good camera for someone that's on the go, the vacationer or the business traveler, someone that is okay with taking a second or two to line up a shot, and because that letting the camera kind of run through all these processes. But it's not a good camera for someone that wants to do action photography. If you want to do fast, responsive action photography, I'd really look at the Casio that I talked about earlier, the high-speed camera. That is, combined with its long zoom, that's a camera that's going to be for speed and for action. But for compactness and for getting great shots while on the go without taking up much room, and for letting the camera do all the work, this new Panasonic FZ5 is really a nice tool, and I think something to look at, and especially in its price range, you get a lot of technology for not very much money. So I was just listening to myself talk about this Panasonic camera, and I kept calling it the FZ5, and that's not what I shot with. I actually shot with the TZ5. The TZ5. So, everything that I said over the last 2 minutes that was FZ5, substitute in your brain TZ5. TZ. TZ as in travel zoom 5. Some of you might have the TZ3, which is, this is the camera that that Panasonic actually got all excited about and, really kind of put them on the map. They sold a whole bunch of them. It was a very popular camera. I think it's still in production. So the TZ5 is the next generation of that camera. So what I was shooting with was the TZ5. I just wanted to clear that up. It was rattling around in my brain when I was talking. I was going, oh, I don't think it was the FZ5. No, it was a TZ5. It was a TZ5. Good little camera nonetheless. And I'll put a link in the show notes to it. So that way, no matter what I call it, you will go to the right page. Oh my gosh. This is a good thing I don't get paid to do this, or, I would be embarrassed right now. Okay, so those were the things that I really enjoyed playing with while I was in Las Vegas. The Casio camera, the Panasonic TZ5, the Rebel XSI, the Sony A350, just all really great tools. I'm very impressed with the stuff that Nik Software coming out with. They have other plugins too that you might want to take a look at. So good show that way. Fun shooting, fun being around, and fun getting to see a lot of the folks. I hope some of the stuff is of interest to you. And even if it isn't, maybe at least you feel like, wow, I couldn't make it out to Las Vegas, but I somehow feel up to speed now. I feel like I know what happened there. Okay, I want to just real quickly talk about, we have a new photo assignment for February called Empty. And I'm just sort of jazzed about this because I, just as a photographer, I'm sort of thinking, what are the possibilities for empty? I mean, showing things that are empty, there's all the, kind of metaphorical translations of empty. I think it's going to be a nice assignment. The last month's assignment, the January assignment, I think all the entries are in and I'm working with them and they are fabulous looking, as you may have guessed, because, we just have great shooters in our audience here and they keep sharing their pictures with us, and that just thrills me to no end. And some grab shots are starting to come in again. Keep them rolling. If you're sitting on some grab shots, please send them in. I'm putting the finishing touches on the book, The Digital Photography Companion, which is actually going to be our handbook for the digital story. And that page is up on the site. There's a link at the top, quick links, for Digital Photography Companion. You can click on it and read more about that book. It looks like now it's going to be out in early March, the way things are going. We have all the copy in and all the pictures are in, all that stuff. But, the production part takes a little bit, and especially refining it. I want to make this book absolutely beautiful and stunning and practical and useful and all those things. So we're taking extra special care with it. And I think it's going to be care that you'll really appreciate. when you see it. So anyway, be sure to click on the Digital Photography Companion page, because I'm going to continue to post additional tips based on the techniques in the book. And of course, I'll be running tips from you guys too. So as I see a picture that uses one of the tips in the book, I might write you back and say, hey, could you tell me a little bit more about it? I want to add it to our library of knowledge on the companion page. And finally, I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank LowPro for sponsoring the Digital Story, the maker of all sorts of good bags and goodies to store your gear in. Boinks Software, the makers of Photomagico, the best slideshow software in the world, available on the Mac. And of course, ExpoDisc, a great way to use your custom white balance setting on your camera. All of these guys have links on the Digital Story. They have little tiles to the side, so if you just click on the tile, it'll take you right over to their page. So that's it for this week. I'm glad to be home. Las Vegas was fun. And, you know, it's one of those places, it's great to be there, but it's really great to be home, too. Nice, clean air and here at home and, you know, not in the loud, kind of smoky Las Vegas environment. But I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed hearing about some of my discoveries there. Make sure you go out and take some pictures. Work on that photo assignment, empty, and get those grab shots. Take a look at the Digital Photography Companion page. And then, most importantly, come back here next week and I'll have more stuff for you. I'll see you then.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.